This is Nation Talk.
Welcome to another edition of Nation Talk. This edition is brought to you by our business technology partner, CDW Canada. CDW can be found on the internet at cdw.ca. Today, Nation Talk has the pleasure of speaking with Jonathan Fowler, who is the Vice President of Aboriginal Affairs and Sustainability with De Beers Canada.
It's an honour to be able to share some of our thoughts and experiences with Nation Talk and with your audience.
Over the last little while, De Beers Canada has become almost the poster child of doing business properly, effectively, and efficiently within the Aboriginal community. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how and why you became involved in Aboriginal relations at De Beers.
It's actually a long story, and I'll try and boil it down. I've worked for more than 39 years with Indigenous people in Namibia, in South Africa, Botswana, Zambia, and for pretty much the last 26 years here in Canada. Most of this time, my contact with the Indigenous people has been as a geologist, because that's my sort of trade. But really, for the last 8 years, I've been focused on working with Aboriginal people here in Canada. This has given us, as a company, a huge opportunity, because working with communities helps us to work and live to the values of De Beers, and that's what's kept me with the company for so long.
Well, you've made great strides in 8 years here at De Beers. They've obviously got a global vision. When did you start to develop and implement part of, I don't want to say part of your Aboriginal relations, but did you see that as a key move forward strategy here at De Beers?
Way back, even in the early 1990s, we recognized that it was very important for us to work with the local communities. And as I mentioned, from about 2000 onwards, I spent almost full time on Aboriginal issues. And we set up a separate Aboriginal Affairs section, if you like, in 2001. We thought about it and we put together working with Aboriginal policy statement, and that came out in 2002, and that was really the result of us talking to a number of communities that we wanted to work with and listening to what they were telling us was important. At the same time, we looked at what other companies were doing and tried to learn from them what had worked for them, and more importantly, to observe what hadn't worked and try to avoid falling into the same traps. We didn't always get it right, and we still don't always get it right, and we've got lots of bruises and scars as a result, but I think we're slowly getting there, and we've got a long way still to go.
You've built a wonderful reputation. I know you've even come out with a couple of Aboriginal publications. You mentioned talking to many communities and looking at the metrics of each individual community by themselves. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the important elements as you talk to each community or First Nation?
One thing we have learnt is that each community is unique, and we need to talk to each community and find out what is important to them, and to share with them where we're coming from and how we do our work, and then we have to find some common ground and go forward from that. When we sit down to talk to communities, we've built up what we call an engagement protocol. It's rather like setting up a human relationship. You can't run before you can walk. So we start off with an information exchange. We say where we're coming from, and we invite the First Nation, the Aboriginal community, to share with us where they're coming from and what some of their values are. Then we talk through a sort of dialogue stage. How do they want to be engaged? How do they want us to talk to them? Then you can get into what I call consultation, and I know that's a loaded word, and that's where you can do that interaction and discuss what it is you want to discuss in detail. We can then go away, think about what we've heard, see whether that will make us change dramatically what we're planning to do, because we try and do this very early in the planning stage so that we don't have concrete plans. We want to go in there with a draft and say, this is what we would like to do and this is what we're thinking about. What are your thoughts? And so we can incorporate the views of the community, their concerns, and address the issues. And if the revised version, so to speak, passes muster, then we get on with the work. If it doesn't, then you hear what the new issues and concerns are and try and address those. Sometimes we can address them all, sometimes we can't. And if we can't, then we need to find a way to work around those obstacles. You then go and do your job, your work, and you then report back on what you've done. So basically you say, this is what we're planning to do. get their input, get their buy-in, go and do it, and then report back on what you've done. And then, because a lot of this is based on exploration, if you're successful, you then repeat the process going on to the next subsequent step. And if you're unsuccessful, you go into some form of exit strategy, whereby keep on good terms, but you go into sort of, so to speak, a holding pattern. You don't just sort of drop everybody like a hot brick.
What about, certainly a hot topic with a diamond company, what about something like resource sharing? I mean, at the end of the day, there's always some level that comes down to that. Tell us a little bit about that.
When exploration is successful and you go ahead and want to build a mine, then we sit down and negotiate either a participation agreement or an impact benefit agreement. It doesn't matter what that agreement is called. It's what it's delivering to the community and to the company. And basically, it's giving some certainty to both parties as to what is in it for them. With regards to resource revenue sharing, within our agreement, we will find some way of sharing the upside with a community. Whether it's resource revenue sharing, in inverted commas, or some other form, really depends on the situation and what we can negotiate. Our general feeling is that for resource revenue sharing, because this relates more to all the various taxes and royalties that we pay, that should be coming from the government and that should be discussed with them. Because we're going to have to pay those payments, those fees, to the government. And if we've then got to put another layer of payments on top of that, it makes it so much more difficult to find a mine and actually be able to bring it into production, because your hurdle that you have to climb over to get a return becomes so much more difficult.
Another subject that certainly as important, more so in many communities and with many First Nations, is recruitment, resources as far as people, as far as people retention, looking for Aboriginal businesses. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about that.
People talk about the revenue share and things like that from a mine. And that's one part of the benefit. Perhaps a more lasting benefit is what can come from helping to develop business opportunities by improving the education and training of the individuals and employing them so that they can acquire a skill. And we think that those three areas, that's to say the business opportunities, the education and training, and the employment, those really are three legs on a stool, which we could call the sustainable component of mining. Most jobs in mining are transferable to other industries, and so we like to try and focus on those to help build capacity within a community. And those really are the three areas that we try to focus on. Having said that, we obviously have to talk with each community and find out what are their priorities. For example, it's no good saying, we'd like to train you to be a brain surgeon if you want to be a plumber. So if you say, well, really, I want to be a plumber, and we say, well, that's great, we can see we've got opportunities for plumbers, then that's a marriage made in heaven and we can get on with it.
Now, you've got two big projects going. Tell us a little bit about those two projects and your level of involvement with parts of the Aboriginal community there. And is there still room?
We have two brand new mines, both of which are just coming out of construction, both of which are in the commissioning stage, and both of which should be going into full production round about the middle of this year. One mine is up in the Northwest Territories and it's called Snap Lake, and there we're working with four communities closely. And the second mine is in Northern Ontario in the James Bay Lowlands, and that's the Victor Mine. And we're working directly with four communities, and there's a fifth one that is peripheral because we have a transmission line that has to cross part of their traditional land. For both Snap Lake and for Victor, we have tried to maximize the employment of people from the local communities, and we have tried to work and provide business opportunities to those communities with some success. The Snap Lake mine is a little bit ahead of Victor, and don't have the figures right on the top of my head. They have had several hundred million dollars worth of business contracts during construction, and construction has employed more people than you'd have during the actual operation, because construction is very high intensity, short duration, lots of people coming in to do different things. As you can imagine, they pour the concrete, they put up the steel, put in the machines, and do all that. Whereas operations are in a more steady state. Victor, I've been slightly closer to the action there, and they have spent about $167 million out of the $1 billion construction cost with contracts that have gone to communities with an Aboriginal component. Does that mean to say they've got $167 million in their pockets? No, that's the value of the contract, and we're not privy to what the actual details of those agreements are that they have. Some of them their own companies, some of them are partnerships of some shape or form they have with non-Aboriginal companies. During construction at Victor, they had up to just about 3,200 people working on and off at the site, and about 37% of those, just over 700, were from the Aboriginal communities, the bulk of those from the northern communities adjacent to Victor. At Snap Lake, the figures were similar. The difference is going into operations. Victor's still busy hiring. It hasn't quite reached its full complement. But again, we're very close to just over 30% of the people on site are Aboriginal at the moment, and we're hoping we can do better than that. And my target would be to see eventually we can get to as close to 100% as we can. But that's not going to happen overnight. People have to acquire the education, they have to acquire the skills, they have to acquire the experience to fill all those positions. And SNAP is similar. The numbers are a little bit lower there for Aboriginal participation, and that's partly the result of there being other diamond mines in the area that are also drawing people from the same communities. And so we're in direct competition, if you like, for the same pool of labour.
Just talking about that for a moment, and certainly from a fascinating perspective at the operations, and once you do have a producing mine, I mean, we're talking about a lot of employment. For how long? What's the average life cycle of a mine?
We do have what we call a life of mine that was predicted when we did the environmental assessment and the permitting. And for Snap Lake, it's just over 20 years, and for Victor, it's 12 years.
What makes it so different?
It's the size of the actual resource, that's to say the amount of ore that's there in the ground. They're different size deposits.
What else does De Beers do basically within the community once you have a producing mine? What are you doing to continue to help the community?
This again really depends on what are the priorities for the communities. As I said, one of the focuses we have is developing the business opportunities, developing skills. One of our passions is literacy, and we have a program that we call Books in the Home, and that's something we've been running with the schools in the communities that are the catchment area for our labor, whereby we go in and provide two or three books to every student, certainly at the elementary level, and those books are selected in conjunction with the teachers so they're age appropriate. And this is to help develop and encourage the students to read and become fully literate, because at the end of the day, education is something that nobody can ever take away from you, and it's the cornerstone, if you like, the keystone to developing skills and enabling people to follow and achieve their dreams.
You obviously have an own internal framework of how to do business effectively. What do you think some companies are doing wrong?
That's a very loaded question, and if I was an American, I'd take whatever it is, the correct amendment. I'm not in a position really to criticize my colleagues in the industry. The one comment I would make is that we have found that some companies have been more progressive and recognize that you can get a lot further by trying to work collaboratively and cooperatively and head for what people call a win-win situation rather than a one-party win and the other one get hammered into the ground. That doesn't really help anybody because you've got one unhappy partner. And if you think of your own personal life, when you meet somebody and you want to get to know them, you go through almost a courtship ritual. You start off, maybe you have coffee, and then maybe you go and have a meal. And if you're lucky, you go on and you have a formal sort of courtship, you have an engagement, and you have a marriage, and you hope it goes happily ever after. Unfortunately, reality is sometimes things don't work out as you think they do, and you have a divorce. But a spoonful of sugar goes a lot further than a spoonful of vinegar. So many of the exploration companies, particularly those that are associated with some of the bigger mining companies, and certainly some of the more progressive smaller companies, have recognized a huge opportunity to try and overcome the mistakes of the past and to work, as I said earlier, collaboratively and cooperatively with communities so that together they can find the solutions that work for that particular community. Is there a hard, set, fast template that you can work to? Not really, but there are a certain number of ideas, a certain number of concepts that we certainly try to follow. And having said that, we recognize that each community is different, so you have to have a flexible approach. There are a couple of things that I'd like to say. First, we really look forward to having that discussion, having that dialogue with communities, and we look forward to hearing what those communities are looking for in any arrangements, in any agreements with a company, because it's only by sharing that information we can come to some consensus, to some common ground. If we try and put ideas into other people's minds, that's not going to work. So we have to say where we're coming from, and we'd like to hear where the other party, the other community is coming from, and then go forward from there and find that common ground. And we really look forward to working with communities across Canada. I'm not Aboriginal, as you can hear, and for me it's a wonderful learning experience, and it's been a very rewarding experience getting to know and to meet many, many different people from different communities and hearing about why they do what they do and what are their values. As an outsider, I can respect those and try and understand them, and I can really appreciate many of the difficulties that people have been faced, and I'm filled with admiration that the Aboriginal people in general are as patient with us non-Aboriginal people as they are. And for that, I would like to say, Gitche Megwich.
Thank you very much for spending some time with Nation Talk, and good luck to you and De Beers in the future.
This edition has been brought to you by CDW Canada. CDW Canada, your business technology partner, can be found on the internet at cdw.ca.
For more information, visit our website at nationtalk.ca. Thanks for listening.